So let us pray. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we ask that you show us mercy and stretch forth your hand and bless everyone that is under the sound of my voice. Let everyone go with a testimony. In Jesus' mighty name. Please, you may be seated. All right, so we're going to do Bible study for 30 minutes. Then we'll pray for 15 minutes. Now, during the course of the Bible study, when we want to move into prayer, I will alert you and you'll catch up with me. Because I want to secure the attention of every participant in the service today. Turn your Bible to the book of Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. What an explosive meeting. Explosive. You know, there is a minister that was in the ministry of praise and worship by the time we came in here. I can't see her now, but such a wonderful deposit of the grace of God. Such a powerful deposit. All right, Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. Thus, this is like a summary of the creation enterprise, the nitty-gritty of the creation protocol was captured in the book of Genesis chapter 1. But what we have in Genesis chapter 2 is an executive summary. So the Bible says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. You know, it's a summary form. All right? Next verse. Oh my. Let me read my own Bible. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Verse 4 is my emphasis. It said, these are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the heavens and the earth. Hallelujah. Have you noticed one thing wrong with that verse 4? Something wrong with it. Can you see it? It's the use of the word generations. Because the project of creation just commenced. And now you are talking about generations when we are just commencing. Hallelujah. So normally when I see scriptures like that, I like to investigate it. I like to launch a linguistic investigation to the original Hebrew or Greek word that was used, because some portions of the meaning of that word obviously was lost in transit. All right. My brother, what is your dialect? What's the name of your dialect? Are you Akan or Ewe? Akan. All right. What is the word for stubborn in your language? Stubborn. In Akan. You have forgotten. The way you answered, we can't take your answer. Now, I want a traditional Akan man to help me. Oh. Can you equip him with a microphone? I just want to show you the need for us to be abreast with linguistic Recovery. All right. So, what's the word for stubborn in Akan?
Asobrachi.
You see, you didn't know that. All right.
Asobrachi is disobedience.
Can you give us the direct meaning, not the translation, but the direct meaning of that statement?
Somebody who refuses to comply.
Okay, someone that refuses to comply.
Simple instructions.
All right. So, you see, what it means, therefore, please, thank you, sir. What it means, therefore, that is that you don't have a word for stubborn in Akan. What you have is a phrase. It means that Akan is not as deep as English. Meanwhile, English is not as deep as either Hebrew or Greek. So when you are translating from a language that has depth to a language that is shallow, like a funnel, a lot is lost in transit. And as at the time where the scriptures were translated by the decree of King James, English language was still in the cradle, and it did not have the capacity to hold the might of communication that is found in Hebrew language. All right? So the word that was used, original Hebrew word, stay with me, don't worry. Just stay with me. The original Hebrew word that was used in that scripture, just in case you have an electronic Bible that is equipped with a lexicon, is the word tolidal. Tolidal in Hebrew is comparative. It's a comparative word. It's a word that is used to compare one word with another word. So it doesn't exist in isolation of a comparison. Are you there? All right. So let's go back to the scripture. Meanwhile, that word means to give birth to. It means generation. It means genealogy. All right? So let's go back to the scripture and use that word in the context of that scripture and see what is being compared. What is being contrasted and compared here is the heavens and the earth. Are you there? He said, these are the tolidah of the heavens and the earth when they were created. What this scripture is saying is that the heavens or the invisible realm is responsible for producing what is in the visible realm. Are you with me?
Yes,
it gave birth to the visible realm. It's not as though God created the invisible realm and created the visible realm separate. What he did was that he created the invisible realm and fructified the visible realm from the invisible realm. Now, it is needful for you to understand that kind of engineering endeavor because there are implications with that approach of creation. It's just like a woman that is pregnant. She is connected to the fetus that she is holding through her umbilical cord. So when that woman drinks Coca-Cola, without giving the fetus Coca-Cola, the fetus is already a victim of Coca-Cola because there is a link between the fetus and the mother. That's the kind of arrangement that we have in this place. It therefore means that if we want to afflict the child that is in the womb of a woman, if you poison the woman, you have already poisoned the child. If you afflict the woman, you have afflicted the child because the child's possibility of growth is tied to the well-being of the woman that is carrying her. In the same way, the physical realm is a mere victim of the things that are obtainable in the unseen realm. Are you with me? If something takes place in the realm unseen, it will be made manifest in the physical realm through the channel or the window of times and seasons. And so anyone that is going to gain mastery of this natural frame of things must be an expert in manipulating the spiritual framework of reality. And just in case your power, your ability, your authority is not captured in the realm invisible,
you are going to be a victim of other people's dexterity of the use of that realm. He said, these are the generations. In this executive summary that God is giving, he's showing us the technique by which he created what we call visible. It came through Tolida. It came through giving birth. It is not an independent, exclusive endeavor. It came out. It derives from an existing reality. So the spirit realm of the invisible realm is superior in scope to the natural realm. Now, let me provide evidence for this, my explanation, in other scriptures. You know, the Bible is not capable of private interpretation. And the reason why it is not capable is because the Bible has one author, which is the Holy Spirit, but many writers. All right? So because it has many writers, you cannot give an explanation to a scripture that is foreign to the other witnesses that came through other writers. If it is true, what you are making out of scripture, there should be other scriptures by other writers that confirm that position. So the Bible is not capable of what? Of private interpretation. The other day I heard a preacher preach. He was preaching about Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. And he said, you know, the Bible says they were in one accord. Then he prophesied that God was going to give everybody 100 accord. You see, may the Lord give you understanding. Now, hallelujah. Yeah, that is creative. It's a creative way of looking at the scripture. But it is inconsistent with the spirit of the book. Because that's an explanation, that's a thought that is not captured in the writings of other writers. And since it is one author, the Bible, therefore, is not capable of contradiction. And just in case you see scriptures that seem to be in opposition to each other, the point is this, you will need to reconcile them because, are you there? It is one author. And that's what the Bible means by rightly dividing the word of truth. There is a balance point where two of them are true. And you need to find that point by the help of the Holy Spirit. So in view of the above, since the Bible is not capable of private interpretation, we will need to look at other scriptures that support the perspective I'm trying to draw out of Genesis chapter 2, verse 4. Turn your Bible with me to the book of Romans, chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, verse 19, verse 18, the Bible says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Why is the wrath of God revealed from heaven? It's because that which may be known of God, this my man is not following me. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. The them there is the visible creation. For God had showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because, okay, let us use another translation for verse 20. Maybe NIV, then you will see where I'm going. NIV, do you have NIV on your platform? Where's my computer man? Does he have NIV? Great. All right, so he has NIV. For since the creation of the world, God's invincible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made. Are you there? The invincible things that are captured in the invisible realm are clearly illustrated in the visible realm. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
He said, even the concept of God's Godhead, the concept of God's eternal power and divine nature is clearly illustrated in the visible creation. And that is the reason why no unbeliever that dies an unbeliever has an excuse, because the greatest evangelist is not Reinhard Bonnke. It is creation. Creation, the physical creation, is an illustration of all the dynamics of the things that are captured in the invisible layer, so that no mortal that passes through this corridor will be without, with any excuse whatsoever, because God has shown us the dynamics of the immortal and the invincible dimension in illustrations that are natural. I'd like you to digest that before we continue. That's why when Jesus came from heaven and he was trying to teach us about the principles of the kingdom, are you there? Am I the one walking in the wrong direction that that sound started? Please arrest that sound, okay? When Jesus came from heaven and came into the earth, and he began to try to acquaint us with the modalities of heaven, the working principles of heaven, and the dynamics of the kingdom of God, Jesus did not use heavenly examples to describe heavenly things. He used earthly examples to describe what? Heavenly thing. So you will see him give a simple parable, and in that simple parable is captured very deep matters that are of heaven. There was no time Jesus spoke about heaven and he was super spiritual. No, he was always supernatural. He uses the natural things to explain the supernatural thing. That was how Jesus was, because the physical realm is an illustration of the operation and the dynamics of the invisible realm. And the reason why it is so is because the physical realm is a derivative of what? The invisible realm. So in this order, therefore, the more superior realm, which is the realm from whence the natural came, is the foundation of this visible realm. So if we can hack into the foundation of this physical realm, we can change this physical realm. And that's why the witches in your family don't want to come to church, because they have seen the possibility of using the handle of their knowledge of the spirit realm to manipulate the natural. And when... Are you? Okay. You know what I normally do when I notice? When I notice that I'm going in a direction and you don't like that, I will just cancel that aspect. So that... Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
A witch wants to afflict somebody. He doesn't come with machete to your house. He accesses the spirit realm through the spiritual agency that is available to him or her. Because our own agency into the spirit realm is the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that we have received a spirit which is not of this world, but a spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. It is through the education that comes from the Holy Spirit that we can interpret the unseen realm. Meanwhile, the witch interprets the unseen realm through the operation of the spirit of error. A spirit being will need to be the one that guides you into the spirit realm. And everything of the realm you see will be through the glasses, the goggles, that that spirit makes available to you. So witches can see too. Because there's a spirit that aids them in their journey. The spirit realm is like a wilderness. When you arrive there, you will need direction. You will need to be guided. And so the Bible says that when the spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth so that you can navigate in the realm that is not tangible. It is through his testimony, through his witness, through his support, through his ability that you can interact with a realm that is not solid. Are you still with me?
Yes.
Now, how many of you still remember the journey of Abraham? God called him. Say, get out of thy country. Come out from among your kindred. Come out from your father's house. And go to a land that I will show you. And that was the command. The details of the land was never mentioned. So how do you go to a land that you have never known? If Abraham was to be shown. Are you there? It means every dream Abraham had was part of the map to arrive at the place God wanted him to go. Every inspiration that came upon his heart carried another section of the map. Now, he was going to a physical place, but the map that he was receiving to navigate into that place was not a physical map. You are not with me, so. You see, what I'm trying to test. I'm trying to test the ground. If we can travel together. The man is going to a physical place. But the map that he will use to go there is a spiritual map. He will be shown how to navigate. He goes to sleep in the night. His sleep is not natural because he's waiting for a download of the map. You know, you go to sleep, you'll say, oh my God, I need rest. Abraham's sleep was not for rest. It was for map. Do you realize that because Abraham had to receive portions and parts of the map from God, he could not entertain the luxury of quarreling with God. If not, God will leave him in the desert. But you can disobey God. You can make God angry. You can compromise and manipulate and come back. You don't know that where you are going, even though it is physical, you will need spiritual navigation to get there. The masters of this age, the masters of this world, are men that understand the handle of how to manipulate the unseen dimension. So the purpose of this lecture this morning is to show you, educate you on that unseen realm. There are 9 properties that the realm has. But because of the time, we will look at just one. What? Hallelujah. We'll look at one. That one is enough for this morning. If you master that one, you will be ahead of the witches in your compound. Meanwhile, you know, the Bible says that the kingdom of God is not in word. So when we finish the theoretical part, which is what I'm doing now, we'll now go to the practical aspect. You know, I studied as a scientist, and everything that we did in the class, we practicalized it in the lab. And that was where the real knowledge was born. That was when I discovered that practice is superior to learning. Okay. Hallelujah. Alright, let us begin the journey. The first characteristic of the unseen realm. If you master it, you become a champion. Many of you that do business, you take your goods to the market and you believe that because your stock is full of rare items, you will have customers. It is good to study economics. It's good to attend London Business School. It's good to be a student of Harvard. But if you are going to establish anything on ground, I need to tell you some other parameters that Harvard will never teach you. Yes. You might have a powerful business plan, and through your understanding of the economy, the indices of inflation, and the projections that you have made through econometrics, you have arrived at a possible safe landing without putting into cognizance the manipulations that come from the unseen dimension. I came to equip you today so that like Abraham, you can begin your own journey. navigating through spiritual pathways in search of your inheritance. You will need to receive visions from God. Yes. Turn with me to the book of Genesis chapter 4. We'll begin to read from verse number 8. Genesis chapter 4, verse 8. The first characteristic of the unseen realm. We'll master it. I'll show you how it works, how you can take advantage of this principle, and then we will stop and pray. When we pray, we'll trust God for a measure of the anointing so that we can do some practicals. Hallelujah. I went to preach somewhere in Europe, and there was a white man there in the congregation. He had his spectacles here like this. And I guess he was just there to, I don't know why he came. Because he didn't participate in our praise and worship. He didn't participate in all the things that we did. He was just there like that. You couldn't tell his mood from his face. So I began to teach. And I said, I'm going to do practical, theory and practice. So I finished doing the theory, and then we moved into the practical. And the Holy Spirit whispered to me and said, he wants to heal people's eyes. And meanwhile, he came there with glasses like a bottle. You know that type. Obviously, if you check his comportment and check the way he was carrying himself, he was not interested in the service. So that was why I was wondering why he was in the service in the first place. But during the practical, the lady sitting by his side got healed. She began to see without the glasses. The one sitting on the other side got healed. She began to see without the glasses. The minister that invited me got healed. He began to see without his glasses. One woman there with another thick set of glasses, I went to her because she didn't get healed. And I insisted that the Holy Ghost will look at her case. Look at her case. And she got healed. Began to read without the glasses. The only person that never got healed was the white man. And that was when he became interested in the service. But the service had ended. Now, the issue here is this. Be interested in the service now. In the book of Genesis chapter 8, 4 verse 8, the Bible says, and Cain talked with his brother Abel. When I finish the reading and I explain it, then I will mention the point. Because the points, I'm taking them from the Bible. And I want to justify that I've made the point with scripture first before I say this is point number one. So that it will be clear to you that I'm not trying to use the Bible to explain my own concept. But I'm drawing the concept from the Bible because the Bible has its own logic. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Now, and Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Yes? And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Next verse. And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. 11. And now thou art cursed from the earth, which has opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thine hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. We'll stop at verse 12. What did you notice about the scripture? It will take someone that is very observant to notice that what I just read to you are the proceedings of a court session. The proceedings of what? A court session. I'm going to explain these proceedings, and if there's anyone here that is a student of law or you have ever been to the courtroom, you will find out that this is a very articulate documentation of a court session. First of all, are you there? In order for you to appear in court, there is a document called the writ of summons that is given to you. That is a document from the bailiff of the court inviting you for some business in court. Hallelujah. I bought a house with my retirement money. I retired and came into full-time ministry. And when my gratuity was paid, I bought a house. When I finished buying the house, I sent my lawyer to the tenants. I said, you have a new landlord now, to give them that information. They almost molested my lawyer for bringing an information about the fact that this property now has a new owner. Is that supposed to be an offense? So because they almost molested my lawyer, I was hoping to be benevolent, but that response was suggestive of the fact that there was a gang in that location. And you would not want to have a house as a landlord and accommodate a gang. I sent my lawyer again to tell them that, well, we are in the business of taking possession of the property. And this time, the threat that they were threatening. This time, they went further. So we did not disturb them again. The next information they saw was an information from the court that you have been all invited to have your day in court. When they arrived court, I thought they would be as aggressive as they used to be. They conducted themselves. The one that was threatening with knife, when we appeared there, he was quite sober and he spoke where he spoke. If they had spoken like that, we're already in court. And when we got to court, he now said, we are married men. How would they just say? They say, this is not how they talk in court. This is, there is a way they, you're already in court. So there's a way they communicate in court. Before the case finished, they ran away from the property. Now, Cain killed Abel. Now, I have studied a little the Witness Act. There is an act that is an appendage of the Constitution. It is called the Witness Act. The Witness Act of Ghana is the same with that of Nigeria. It means that only two grounds that you can establish competent witness in a court situation. First is an eyewitness. It means you have evidence that you were present there while the event you want to account about was taking place. The second scenario is an expert witness. when the dead body of someone that is a casualty is brought into the hospital, and someone that is a consultant in the area of internal medicine, not just any consultant, the one that studied internal medicine as his line of competence, examines the body, all right, and comes up with an autopsy report. Are you still with me? When you bring that to court, it's going to influence the pendulum of justice. The Bible says that Cain killed Abel. And you will realize that there was no eyewitness in the scenario. Are you with me? There was also no expert witness to conduct autopsy on the body to find out, to ascertain what the last few moments of Abel's life looked like. No eyewitness, no expert witness. So when Cain was summoned to court, the proceedings began with cross-examination. For those of you that know court proceedings and the protocol of cross-examination, it is a strategy by which we can use questions to ascertain the substance that you carry about a case. If you don't understand the tricks that are associated with cross-examination, a careless answer can be the end of the proceedings. And so the question that was put forth to Cain was, where is Abel, thy brother? That's cross-examination. Knowing, are you there?
Yes,
knowing that there was no eyewitness, knowing that there was no expert witness, the man put up a defense and said, have I now become my brother's keeper? Was it written anywhere that he was assigned to be under my custody? And he gave this response because he thought he was speaking to mortals. If it were in the court of mortals, he would have had a day. They wouldn't have been able to establish his culpability. So, but unfortunately to him, it was not the constitution of Ghana that was the legal premise in that court system. It was the court of heaven. And there's something in the court of heaven that is a bit different from the constitution and the bylaws of Ghana. For instance, through the Witness Act, we can only establish witness by eyewitnesses or expert witnesses. But unfortunately, the act that was being used as the premise of justice could also accept the witness of blood as competent witness in court. And Cain was absolutely ignorant of that position. You may not have known, but one quality that blood has is that it has vocabulary. It has the ability to communicate. Oh my God. It has intelligence. And that is the reason for which witches need blood as part of the articles required to cast a spell. Because that blood buys you airtime. No matter how terrible the information you want to communicate through your GSM is, the allowance you have is what your airtime can afford. So you can even speak. Are you with me?
Yes.
There are some calls you will make. You know you only have 2 minutes. There is a way to construct your communication within the 2 minutes so that it will make a complete sense. So the quality of blood that you are using is what gives you the airtime for vocabulary. You must have realized that the Bible says that the blood of Jesus, it speaketh better things. It has more room for dexterity. But I don't want to go into that this morning. But the Lord will help us in the name of Jesus Christ. So when he said, am I my brother's keeper? The judge now said, okay, we need to retrieve the case file. The file that the appellant submitted to the bailiff. Let us see what the construct of the case is in the first place. So when they brought the file, Go to verse 10. You will see the content of the case file. Where is my... Okay. This is God speaking. Say, what hast thou done? Case file. The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. That's the case file. The issue here has nothing to do with an eyewitness. The issue here has nothing to do with an expert witness. The issue here is about the witness of blood. And in our own court, blood can be in the dock as a witness against you. The vocabulary and the utterance of blood gets to this court. So on the strength of the non-availability of the eyewitness or expert witness, it's not sufficient ground to dismiss this case. We have a valid witness as captured in the case file, and that is the voice of blood. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
The voice of thy brother's blood, and it will surprise you to know that there was another witness within the vicinity. The entity that collected blood from your hand, your brother's blood from your hand, is the ground. We also tapped into the frequency of the ground. You were already culpable when the ground vomited evidences against you. It was the ground that received the blood, not from, and it was from your hand. Now, you see, I don't have time to build the theology around blood and ground. But you will notice, are you there?
Yes.
Now, the blood of Abel that was spilled in the book of Genesis chapter 4 where we are reading is the blood of an innocent man. By the time we go to Golgotha, where Jesus was crucified, that's the blood of a righteous man. That's a different matter altogether. And you see, the ground takes inventory of what it receives, takes inventory of what it supports. You see, on the day of judgment, God will just speak to the ground. And it will bring out strange evidences. People that went to Nogopo to take something, the ground will say, see, this is the your leg was in the shrine. Hallelujah. When Jesus hung on the cross in Golgotha, it was his blood that hit the ground that generated the earthquake. Are you see that? The reason was because the ground that used to analyze things, when it touched that blood, it has never touched that type before. The computer where the ground analyzes things, that computer, it crashed. That was why there was earthquake. It was that earthquake that affected the alignment of the temple that tore the curtain that covered the Holy of Holies from top to bottom. I don't have time to work on that. But if you are a Bible student, you will know that anytime a Jew is grieved, what they do is that they put ashes on their head. They put on sackcloth. And if they are wearing clothes, they would tear their garment. Now, so every Jew understood the sign of the torn curtain. Because the curtain was torn from up down. It was the one that was in the Holy of Holies that was grieving that he tore his clothes. Yeah. So, but I don't have time to walk that scripture. The Lord will help us in the name of Jesus Christ. He said, what hast thou done? That means, you have committed trespass. The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the, what? Ground that received it out of your hand. You will notice after this case file was read to Cain, he didn't speak again. It means he accepted guilt. The next verse now shows us the judgment. Verse 12. Go to 11. 11. And now thou art cursed. This is the judgment. From the earth, which opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood. The first point from when your curse came from is the same ground that has evidence against you. So the ground is programmed to reject you. So when you till the ground, it will no longer yield unto thee her strength. It will deny you her strength. That's number one. It means that there is no soil under heaven that is programmed to support your destiny because of the violations that you have done. This court we are attending to is a court that is in the spirit realm. It's not Ghana court. It's not your appeal court. This one is heaven's court. The first symptom of the unseen realm is that it is capable of legalistic potential. It is capable of justice and of judgment. See, when thou tillest the ground, it shall no more henceforth yield unto thee her strength. So no nation, no soil under heaven will be able to support King's destiny. And because he cannot be supported, there is only one option left for him. He is going to be a vagabond, wandering from place to place. That's not all. The Bible says that God gave him a mark. I don't know what kind of mark it was. I'm still studying that. No, trust me, I'm still studying that. I'm still studying it. God gave the guy a mark. So that when you see him, even if you are a murderer, you kill men, human beings for money. You are an assassin. If you see Cain, because of the mark he's carrying, you will not kill him. That means he will live long in that his condition. You know, when you have this kind of affliction on your life, you will be praying to die. Even that death, that prayer for death will not be granted. Assassins will see him and they will escape. And all of this is befalling him because the justice system of heaven had found him guilty. Meanwhile, the entire justice system never affected the size of his chest. His biceps were still wonderful. So, and a young girl from Kumasi might see this young man and say, "I love him, I love him," and trouble the entire household that if she doesn't marry this man, they should forget about marriage. The reason why she's falling in love is because she doesn't understand what the guy is carrying. May the Lord deliver us in the name of Jesus. Have you gotten it there?
Yes, sir.
Good. Now that we understand that one of the properties of the unseen realm is that it is legalistic. It is legalistic in nature. It therefore means that there are bondages that men can carry that have legal undertones. Do you still remember that what Jesus did on the cross was a massive legal statement? Was legal. It was God's way of satisfying the claims of divine justice. Because the position of divine justice with respect to us was that we were only capable of rebellion. That was the position of divine justice. What Adam did in eating of the tree of knowledge of good and evil was that he declared independence against God. Meanwhile, he was created to be dependent on God, to be an extension of God in the visible realm. And that is the reason why he was capable of dominion. Because it's only God that operates in dominion. Now man is now going to be capable of dominion because he is an extension of God upon the face of the earth. Now, so this guy now decides to declare independence by making a choice that is contrary to the choice of God. And the lie that Satan sold him was that if you eat of the fruit, you become God too. You won't need to seek God. So you can be God by yourself. So that was how he excluded himself from the help of the grace of God and became measured into time. It was only good for time. He could no longer traffic in the realm of the Spirit through the Spirit, the divine Holy Ghost. He became a victim of the whims and caprices of Satan and became a tool to extend the kingdom of Satan upon the face of the earth. But in redemption, what God did was that he satisfied the claims of justice so that it can be possible for us to be made alive again in our spirit. There is nothing that the Holy Ghost will do in your life that is not already legally premised by the sacrifice of Jesus. If a spirit will move, if a spirit will continue to move, if a spirit will continue to fulfill an activity in your life, in your family, in Ghana, then there must be a legal premise that justifies the activity of the spirit. So, spirit realm is legalistic in nature. Come with me to Isaiah. You know, I said we'll look at one, just one. This is number one. There are many other matters about the way the realm operates. And you will need education to be able to... You see, Satan invests a lot in capacity building. Somebody that is initiated into witchcraft at the age of 12, from 12 to 20 years, they are doing meetings every night for training, for capacity. Every night, they don't miss training. Older witches will begin to tell them about the corridors of Ghana, that there is one stronghold at Volta, you know, where that river meets the ocean. So there's a stronghold there. There's another stronghold at the towards Togo, Nogopo. There's another. They'll give you the geography of Ghana and how they have developed demonic strongholds to hold the nation ransom and to put the nation in darkness. So these younger witches are educated every night. There is no way you can make progress in your spiritual journey with ignorance. No, priesthood and ignorance don't work together. That's why the Bible says it is the way of the priest to preserve knowledge. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
You know, before we enter into the details of priesthood, how to use your priesthood to change situations, we need to give you a lecture on how the spirit realm is first. When you understand the realm, then you can now know the activity of a priest, how he uses the advantage of the divine international invincible realm to manipulate and to obstruct intentions that have been fortified from the demonic supernatural. Are you still with me? All right. So we'll do Isaiah chapter 49. Isaiah chapter 49. Yes, where's my... Yeah, you can begin your own ministry now. Isaiah chapter 49. We'll begin from verse 24. Are you there? Where's my computer man? In Isaiah chapter 49, verse 24, we find a question. This is the only time in the entire Bible where one question is asked two times in two different ways. The question is, shall the prey be taken from the mighty? That's the first rendering of the question. But he knew that we will not understand the meaning of the question. So he now asked the question again. Or, same question. Shall the lawful captive be delivered? It's the same question. But he knows you don't understand the context with the way it was rendered the first time. So the reason why this guy was called mighty is not because of brute strength. It's not because he has muscles. The reason why this guy, this captor, is called mighty is because the captivity under which he brings his victims is legal in nature. You know, I told you that the realm is capable of legalities. So I'm just showing you evidence that there are therefore bondages that are legal in nature. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty? Shall the lawful captive be delivered? That's the question. You will realize that there was no answer to the question. It's just like in the valley of dry bones. God shows up and he says, son of man, shall these bones live again? You know, the prophet did not answer that question. He said, Jehovah, only thou knowest. So Jehovah had to answer the question that he asked the first time. There was no answer here. Shall they pray be taken from the mighty? Shall the lawful captive be delivered? No, no answer. So God had to come and answer it because humans could not answer it. When you see the bondages taking place of communities in the eastern region, you are moved to say, shall they pray be taken from the mighty? When you see families that have been ravaged by necromancy, the shadow of death is casted in the family. And after every 3 months, somebody has to be cut off. You will be tempted to ask, shall they pray be taken from the mind? Shall they pray be taken from the mind? Shall they pray be taken from the mind? I was ministering to a lady because I saw demons on her. So I began to minister to her in a certain meeting. Then she came for counseling and said, everybody around me dies. So she is not aware that when she was born, they put a spirit upon her. And when she becomes angry with you, evil will begin to walk on your life. Sometimes when you see the operation of darkness, you ask, is there any power bigger, better than this one? So that's why this question came. Shall they pray be taken from the mighty? Next verse. He said, but thus saith the Lord, because human beings could not answer the question. Even the captive of the mighty shall be taken away. And the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. How will God achieve this? He has told us what he wants to do, but he needs to tell us how. He needs to accomplish it. He said, for I will contend with him that contended with thee. Now, stop there. There are two things he does. One, contention. So his approach is the way of contention. You see, whenever we use the word contention, your mind goes to the battlefield. No, that's not the context. There's another mode of contention that takes place in court. If you have ever been to court before, you might find that there are only 12 people there. But the outcome of the proceedings can be the reason why somebody is incarcerated for life. Nobody is aware that that contention is taking place. But when they are done, somebody will be locked up forever. And he will not see the light of the sun again. Anytime he looks at Legon, he's with from the middle of bars. Meanwhile, they were just where. He said, I will contend. So that's what God will do this morning. So we are going to court now. That's what I'm just giving you prior information. That same court that gave a verdict on Cain. We want to approach it. He said, I will contend with him that contended with you. That's number one. And then he answered, I will save thy children. The reason why he has to save your children is because this kind of justice has the potential to be transgenerational. So much so that a generation can come and not even know why they are suffering, but yet the reality of their suffering is pungent, is evident. So there is contention and there is what? Salvation. So the two things that will take place this morning is contention and... You got it. So my lecture has been brought to a conclusion. We shift to practical. And the way we shift is that we will spend some time. You don't need to stand up, okay? In that place of comfort, justice can take place. You know, there are seats in court. There are seats there. In that place of your comfort, justice can be meted out. Hey, in the name of Jesus. Now, so this is the protocol, all right? The anointing I'm operating under now is that of a teacher to bring education to you. So we are going to pray in tongues for 2 minutes, then the anointing will shift. So, all right? The anointing of a prophet will come. No, don't say amen. That is how it is. I'm just... we are not... See, that is... I'm just... You know, it was when I went to Europe. The preacher said, these white people, they don't know this thing you are doing. So, before you do anything, explain to them what you want. So, I've gotten used to it. I have to explain to you that we'll do like this and then the thing will shift. Okay? So, I had to tell the white people, I said, some of you are possessed with devils. And I have a tonic from the Holy Ghost that can expel devils. And in a moment of time, you might see some people behaving in a strange way. There's no problem about it. Those things are the things that happen when the divine meets with the demonic day. There are little reactions there. And so I explained to them before we started practical. Let me stop there. So we are going to spend 3 minutes speaking in tongues, and then the anointing will shift. The moment the anointing shifts, I will stop the prayer. Then we'll start proceedings in court. Okay? That's how we'll do it. And because of time, we only have 15 minutes to do court issues. Then I will take my seat. Hallelujah. Now, are you there? Now, so we are going to focus. It's just that I didn't have much time. I would have shown you that there is 60% of the battles you will face are tied to the family you come from. But I don't have time to establish them. But 60% of what you face is tied to that context. You will find men like Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve. Do you realize he did not consult the people he implicated by that decision before he made the decision? Some of them want to serve Ogugu. Some others want to serve the idol. Huh? What's the name of one idol in Ghana? Atua? Some of them want to serve that spirit. But Joshua said, as long as you are in my household, you serve the Lord. And he did. Now, so, you see, are you there? Now, I was supposed to teach you some things like headship. Headship is what the husband has over the wife in a marriage situation. Headship is from God. Are you following? Yes. So do you realize that in your family there is somebody that is exercising headship? If people are going to get married, even though it's your daughter, you will need to, the one, that man is the one that will give your daughter house because of the principle of headship. There are several things that person will do with his capacity as headship that will begin to influence people. Because, are you there?
Yes.
Let me stop. You need to have some insight in order for you to be excluded from a situation where the person say, as for me and my house, we serve, what's that name? No, not the Lord. That man is not serving. Atua. So he goes before Atua and say, you see, the people I represent, they are yours. And then Atua will believe him. So even though you come to church, you begin to see some symptoms of the arrangement. There is a way, that is why you cannot escape contending. By contending, what you are doing is that you are making your own impression that you are not part of that transaction. Oh, I already like you. I'm a sicko prema. So that's what we're doing. We're saying we're not part of the transaction. The only transaction we're aware of is what took place on the cross. And the liberties that he has proclaimed. That's the only thing we are aware of this morning. So you can take any position that is comfortable for you. Sitting down is not a problem. Anyone. Now, we are praying, and what we are praying is about our family. Just in case there is a move that was taken to unite us with darkness through the instrumentality of headship. We want to make our own assertion. We want to make our own decision. We were not part of that transaction, and so the implication cannot fall upon us. Can you call upon the Lord in prayer in the moment of time? I so kembo lo mis alimo moria si kele. Ila bontelia supris kafana makute bende. Kuva semina itoko belasu kentoria. Ariso se kobiso fiklo proska teminde. Luberasu sede. Kebre men kudi basuke patando kodia. Abakuske tua te bila momosika dalamo te. Abusike. Raskope na kube na siko prisko fide. Agaito balama. Iko besu se saliko braminale. Shaiko besko tile. Braka bonde sa makante tori baka debale. Aito sika mebri. Kabo sukle presko badi. Abakato skito printo binakadaba bondeli. Yalo bobori asiko presko mbali antame. Yamo siko. Nakalanto bina brasketo bila kendoria. Shabina kuse se kompre. Rakos abato atekos kibozantele. Rakosito predo kobila katelia. Amando si so seko. Prekusa mida iko baramakate toske. Yaliamo sahabala. Yaliabo sekulia praskito me. Yaliabro skito sabalando bila iskopela. Anabo sekoboria. Shiga bakonte preska bila mante kubilato. Ah!
Thank you, Lord.